From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The White House now says Osama bin Laden was not armed and was not using a woman as a human shield when Navy SEALs confronted him. But CIA Director Leon Panetta says bin Laden made some threatening moves and did not surrender.
I don't think he had a lot of time to say anything. It was a firefight going up that compound. And by the time they got to the third floor and found bin Laden, I think this was all split-second action on the part of the SEALs.
Panetta interviewed on PBS's NewsHour. He told Time magazine CIA analysts were only 60% to 80% confident that bin Laden was in the compound where he was found. Pakistan's government says it has concerns about the U.S. attacking bin Laden's compound without seeking permission or giving advance notice of the raid. International law expert Michael Scharf at Case Western Reserve University says the raid does raise some legal issues.
I think most people would think that the current international law is still that the U.S. Cannot legally use force in Pakistan without its permission to wipe out a terrorist threat.
The Obama administration is pressing Pakistan for answers about how bin Laden could have been living for years in the urban compound, which is surrounded by military installations. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reports the head of the National Counterterrorism Center says bin Laden's death is an important step in dismantling al-Qaeda.
Michael Leiter says bin Laden played a far bigger role than mere founder of al-Qaeda. He provided a strategic vision that will be impossible to replace.
And with his death, al-Qaeda will live on, but there was no way to destroy al-Qaeda without also eliminating bin Laden. And in that sense, this was a very important step.
Leiter says bin Laden's presumed successor, the Egyptian Ayman al-Zawahiri, is less charismatic and less influential among affiliate terrorist groups. As to Zawahiri's whereabouts, the U.S. counterterrorism chief says, quote, "We certainly suspect he's in Pakistan." For NPR News, I'm Mary Louise Kelly in Washington.
The two main Palestinian factions have just signed a reconciliation agreement in Cairo. NPR's Jackie Northam has details.
The signing of the reconciliation deal between Fatah and Hamas is meant to be the first step in bridging a bitter four-year divide between the Palestinian factions. Officials from both sides here in Cairo for the signing admit it will take work to ensure the agreement doesn't unravel as other similar deals have in the past. This one calls for the creation of an interim government that will not include representatives from either Hamas or Fatah. That's done little to placate Israel, which considers Hamas a terrorist organization and has already taken punitive action against Fatah for striking a deal with the Islamist group. Still, Palestinian officials say unity is the number one priority right now. The effort to reconcile may have other roots. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Cairo.
This is NPR. Chilly, rainy weather in the deep south is hampering workers cleaning up debris from last week's tornadoes and severe weather that killed more than 300 people. Efforts are underway to find temporary housing for thousands of people displaced by the storms. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley says he's confident his state will bounce back.
There is a spirit in this state unlike any I have seen before. The people of Alabama are strong and courageous. And our ability to do great things has no limits.
Officials say damage in Alabama could rival the $1 billion in losses the state suffered from Hurricane Katrina. The House today takes up a bill that would permanently ban all federal funding for abortions. But NPR's Julie Rovner reports opponents, including the Obama administration, say the measure goes too far and interferes with a woman's right to opt for what is still a legal medical procedure.
For more than 30 years, Congress has annually renewed what's known as the Hyde Amendment, which bars most federal abortion funding. But the bill before the House today would not only make that ban permanent, it would go further as well. Among other things, it would prohibit individuals and small businesses who buy health insurance that covers abortion from getting tax credits for that coverage. It would also ban tax-free health accounts from being used to pay for abortions unless those pregnancies were the result of rape or incest. The Obama administration has threatened to veto the measure. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
More people living along the Mississippi are evacuating as the Corps of Engineers considers whether to blast another levee to save towns from flooding. A levee was blasted on Monday to spare Cairo, Illinois, but sections of the river are still rising. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.